Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. Israel's general, Joshua, is now getting to lead them into the promised land, and God is speaking to him. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. And it is a wondrous story that we have to tell. The unfolding of the revelation of your love in the Word of God. All that you had planned before you even made the worlds. You knew what we would do. You knew we would turn from you and turn to our sin. You knew that we would need a Savior. And you became that Savior. Came to earth and put on flesh. And we beheld his glory, your glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. Oh, Father, we thank you for that wondrous story. Lord, I ask for the filling of your Spirit that you might help me to minister the Word of God dear to your people here this morning. And Father, I pray for my dear wife, fill her with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign language this morning. Be with those in the nursery and be with thy Spirit watching the children. Thank you for the Bible classes we've had already, the adult Bible study this morning, the children's Sunday school hour. God, might we be those who heed what we learn and walk in your steps and following you. I thank you for this special time of year when hearts tend to think more of eternal things. God, once again, would you help us by your Spirit and by your Word. Once again, would you go forth in our midst, dear God, using your Word to expose the need of every heart. Father, anyone in need of salvation this morning can be saved if they'll listen and if they'll hear the message and know what they need to do to be saved, simply to trust you as Savior. And Father, for each one who does that, there's a life of service to live for you as a debtor. You give salvation as a free gift, and then you call us, if we love you, to serve you. So I pray that we would grow more in that. I thank you for the good year you've given us, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you for the prospects of the year to come, should you tarry. And I pray that we'd be among those who draw closer to you, who labor for you more abundantly, who long for a closer walk and that others may know thee as well. Father, help us, please, Lord, in all these things. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. With the verse we read is the only place we find that word success in the Bible. You know, we talk about that. We want to have a successful year, and I'll have an outline for you, but an introduction here first. And we want to be successful. Well, maybe we can't define all the details of what that is, but I sure can tell you this. I can tell you exactly the pathway that leads to that because we just read it. That is, therein thou shalt have good success. What? Meditating upon the word, obeying God's word, walking with the Lord. That will lead you to whatever success that is that God has for you. By the way, it worked last year if we were seeking him. It'll work for us this year. Amen. And seeking God in those things. Many times, what the world may view as success is not necessarily what God views as success. I'll give you a Bible illustration of that. And if you want to turn there, you can follow along there. But in Numbers chapter 20, God is speaking with Moses and Aaron. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1, then came the children of Israel, a whole congregation, into the desert of Zin. And the Bible says, verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now, if there were many today attending that service, they'd say, man, what a service that was! You wouldn't believe the success of that service. I mean, Moses preached hard against sin. You know, hear now, ye rebels. And boy, that preaching went forth. It was hard, but true. And boy, the miracles of God, when he smote that rock, talk about zeal. When he smote that rock, the water poured out. I mean, the altars were full. Everybody came up and got a drink. What a service. What an attendance. What power. That might be how the world today would view that service. Unfortunately, that's not how God viewed that service. We would read how God viewed that service in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. There the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. What happened? Moses and Aaron disobeyed God. Earlier in their desert travels, God had commanded Moses to smite the rock, and the water came out. Moses had obeyed God well at that service. But at the next service, God said, take the rod and what? Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Like we do sometimes. Moses thought it was okay to do what he wanted to do. To veer a little bit from God's plan certainly won't hurt. What does he do? He smites the rock. And what does he say? Here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock. Oh, Moses and Aaron, the great servants of God. God wasn't there to exalt the great servants of God. God was there to that he would be glorified. Amen. And they didn't do it the way that God told them to do it. And God wasn't pleased. And Moses, certainly there's nothing he dreamed of more in his life than taking the children of Israel on into the promised land. And God, what? Took that away from him, didn't he? You disobeyed me, Moses, Aaron. You didn't believe me to sanctify me, not yourselves, in front of the congregation. You've lost a great opportunity. By the way, you read your Bible, you'll find Moses a couple of times begs God to return that. God says, no, you crossed the line. You won't have that privilege. No one can lose their salvation. But Moses lost what? A privilege of service. He was not allowed to take them into the promised land. God is concerned that we obey. What would have seemed like a great service to many was not, simply because they did not exalt the word of God and glorify God. They did not do things in the way that God has said. You see, there is in the Bible no command to be successful. But there is a command to be faithful. There is a command to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Stewards are keepers of what someone else has given you. If you are house sitting for someone, they go on vacation, you have become a steward of their house. You are keeping their house for them. It doesn't belong to you. So you want to keep it well, make sure the pipes don't freeze, and take good care of it. You're a steward of that house while they're away. Well, guess what? Once you become, well, even before you come, your body belongs to the Lord. God made you. God owns every person because he's a creator. When you become a Christian, he owns you in another way. He pays for your sins. You become born again. He now owns you through salvation. And the temple you live in, what? Know ye not that your body is not your own? It doesn't belong to us. All our time, talents, opportunities that come our way are given to us from God and loaned to us. It's his stuff. It's his property. It's his time. This is his body. The talents, whatever he gave me or you, are his that he gave you, what? To use for him, for his glory, and not for yourself. So that's really what people have done. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every what to what? Everyone what? To his own way. That's all Moses and Aaron did there. They just did things their own way for a little while. And God wasn't pleased. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to serve him. It is required in stewards, that is, those in the Bible, those who have been saved and given the gift of eternal life, sins forgiven, now we are what? To serve God. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. We are to be taking care of God's business on this earth. What are some of those mysteries of God? The church. Jew and Gentile brought together, just believers brought together, the whole world to get the gospel out. The mystery of the incarnate Christ. God became a man. God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We talked about that, John chapter 1. These mysteries, multiple mysteries. The indwelling spirit. Once you get saved, God sends His Spirit to dwell in you, and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We're to share all these mysteries with the world and apply them in our own lives. Being the stewards, the rapture. Did you know that Jesus is coming back? He came the first time as that babe in a manger. He's going to come during what the Bible calls the second coming as a ruling and reigning king at end of tribulation. But He has a coming that He is going to accomplish He didn't tell anybody in the Old Testament about. It was a mystery. He told Paul about it. He says, by the way, in between when I came as a babe and when I come at the end of the tribulation to be the judge of the world, in between that, I'm going to come back and get my church. And I'm going to take every believer, not one single unbeliever, I'm going to take every believer home with me, dead or alive. If you're alive, you're going up in the air. If you're dead, you're coming out of the grave. Then you're going up in the air. And by the way, if you're dead, you're going first. And that's these are things that we declare. We believe the Bible teaches them clearly. Going into the year, we want to be good stewards of what God has for us. And we'll have opportunities to labor and serve Him as He tarries. So we look at the message this morning. We want to look at good success through faithfulness is what we're looking at. Number one, if we would be found faithful, we must live in faithfulness. God tells Joshua that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. God wants us to be obedient to His word. Remember what He said, what Samuel said to Saul when Saul disobeyed God in that one battle and wanted to do things his own way? In 1 Samuel, and Saul did that. He brought back some sacrifices when God at that point had told him to destroy everything. And Samuel said this, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God, I can give you all my gold. I'll take all my gold right now and I'll give it to the most faithful church that I know of. Wonderful. God's not impressed. You know what God wants more? My obedience to His will and your obedience to His will. Why is that? Because He who knows us best loves us most. And the best thing for you and me is what? His will. Believe me, we haven't got something figured out that's better, okay? Just have faith in God. His will is best for us. Jesus said what in John 14:15? If you love me, keep my commandments. So looking into the new year, we want to walk in God's commandments and be among those, be faithful in that way. That is the pathway that brings success. Christians have an uncanny ability to compartmentalize in their lives. Well, if I read my Bible and pray and go to church, then I'm spiritual. Well, I can tell you this. You're not spiritual if you don't do those things. I can tell you that. You have some room to grow. But you could do those things and still not be spiritual. See, because there's people that can do those things but don't apply them to the law. You know, Sunday is the Lord's Day. You know, Sunday I'll pick up my Bible. Wednesday night I'll pick up my Bible. What about the rest of the week? But if I remember my Bible correctly, God created all 7 days of the week, didn't He? He made all seven. They're all His. And so He wants me every day, and He wants you every day to live for Him, to take Him to work with us, by the way, that His name might be on our lips. Amen. Ready to be shared as the opportunity comes. To take Him to the grocery store, to the gas station, to the neighbor's house, whatever it might be. If you love me, keep my commandments. Moses disobeyed that, and what seemed like a successful service, he failed in God's eyes. And we need to watch out for that. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, what? And do not the things I say." He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We do know that the Bible in Colossians chapter 1 teaches that Jesus Christ made the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us that. He's one with God. He is to be obeyed. He deserves the same honor as the Father. That's what Trinity means. He's one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "He that honoreth not me," what? "Honoreth not my Father." If you want to honor God, honor Jesus Christ. Worship Him. Follow Him. What a challenge for us. Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3 and verse 8 of that letter. He says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." We need to be careful that we are seeking to be people who do good works. Not to be saved because we are saved. Because God's given us the power to do that. By the way, He's given up His word to know what good works are. We don't try to figure that out ourselves or what we feel, you know. We read that from the Bible. Charles Wendell Colson, he was once known as President Nixon's hatchet man. Colson gained notoriety at the height of the Watergate affair for being named as one of the Watergate Seven. He pled guilty and became a Christian in 1973. The following year, he served 7 months in the federal Maxwell prison in Alabama as the first member of the Nixon administration to be incarcerated for Watergate-related charges. Colson's midlife conversion to Christianity sparked a radical life change that led to the founding of his nonprofit ministry, Prison Fellowship, and to a focus on a Christian worldview, teaching and training. He was a public speaker and author of more than 30 books. He was the founder and chairman of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, which was a research study networking center. Get out the Christian Worldview. While he was alive, it included Colson's daily radio commentary, Breakpoint, which was heard in its original format on more than 1,400 outlets across the United States. Colson received 15 honorary doctorates. In 1993, was awarded the Templeton Prize, which at that time for progress in religion, it was the world's largest amount, over $1 million. In the field of religion, given to a person who has, quote, made an exceptional contribution to affirming life's spiritual dimension. He donated this prize to further the Prison Fellowship, as he did all his speaking fees and royalties. 2008, he was awarded the Presidential Citizens Medal by President George W. Bush. Colson maintained a variety of media channels which discussed temporary issues from an evangelical Christian worldview. In his Christianity Today columns, boy, that magazine's changed, hadn't it? Christianity Today. They need to change the name of it now. In his Christianity Today columns, for example, Colson opposed same-sex marriage and argued that Darwinianism is used to attack Christianity. He also argued against Darwinianism and in favor of intellectual design. After his release from prison, Colson founded the Prison Fellowship in 1976, which at one point was the nation's largest outreach to prisoners, ex-prisoners, and their families. Chuck Colson wrote in his Prison Fellowship newsletter, Jubilee, he wrote this. He says, "By the time you read this, we will have dedicated our new national offices near Washington, D.C. As a result of this and other recent expansions, many people have written to me to the effect that God is obviously blessing Prison Fellowship's ministry. He continues, as much as I am sincerely certain that God is indeed blessing us, I believe even more certainly that it is a dangerous and misguiding policy to measure God's blessings by standards of visible, tangible, material success. And you ought to say amen to that. He says, the inference is that when things are prospering, God is blessing us. And conversely, when things are going poorly or unpublicized, God's blessing is not upon the work or it is not important. We must continually use the measure of our obedience to the guidelines of His Word as the real and only standard of our success, not some more supposedly tangible or glamorous scale. And to that we ought to say amen. Amen. One day we may be spiritual enough to minister like Ezekiel and say, just go minister till you die, my friend. Nobody's going to listen to you. Or Jeremiah, the same. Well, they lost everything, pretty much, and were faithful to God the whole way. Their ministry was a success. They got the word out. They preached what God wanted them to preach. They lived the way God wanted them to live. And God said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we ought to have our focus on that. We can get discouraged. We want to look for material results, for physical results. We want to look at something that we can equate with success. Well, folks, you can't look at something to equate with success. It's what's going on in your heart. It's where are you with God. Folks, if you're right with God, in God's will, doing what He wants you to do, you are successful. Amen. That is success. Opening, going through those doors He opens. Not trying to kick down, those doors He closes. Listening to His Spirit. Letting Him lead us. So many times, even meaning people in our independent fundamental Baptist movement have associated things that we can see, numbers and such, to success. Jack Hiles ended an illustration saying about soul winning, if you profess to be a soul winner, you better have a fish on your hook. We do what? One planteth, another watereth. What's the last part say? God bringeth forth the increase. Amen. God bringeth forth the increase. I had a teacher, loved his teaching. I believe he's a godly man. I believe he's still a godly man today. He said to us, at a time we were called preacher boys, he says, as long as there is some pattern of numerical growth, I ate that up then. I don't necessarily buy it now. You say, what's been your pattern of numerical growth here, preacher? Well, it's been kind of like this. And a whole lot of like this. We recently had a few families come and filling up the room. We went for a whole long time with not a single extra person coming. That doesn't make any difference to God, folks. The important thing is that the word goes out from here, amen? And who He brings in, He will bring in. Who He takes away, He will take away. Our responsibility is to preach and teach the Word of God and to love one another as best we can, amen, according to that. We have to stay focused on that. And I know, it's true, we're weak. I was talking with Brother Nick one time. I love him dearly. He used to be a deacon here and pastored a church in Hawaii for a while. We were talking about this, and he says, yeah. He says, but he we were talking about seeing things. He says, yeah, but sometimes you got to see something to be encouraged. And you know what? I think he's right. And you know why that is? It's because we're weak.
even though we shouldn't have to, because we're people, God recognizes what? We're made of dust. And once in a while, he'll give us a little something like that. But what he reminds us, but then he quickly reminds us what? It's not really the things. It's not really that. And you know, I just gave you that because you needed it, and I'm reminding you now that doesn't guarantee spiritual. God's just merciful like that, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of pick us up.
But we understand that it's just following him. And not putting out these material things. Moving along, we need to live in faithfulness if we're going to know a success. Number two, we need to learn of faithfulness. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. We are to be reading and meditating and studying the Word of God. Brother Dennis was talking about coming to church and bringing your Bible and when do we pick this book up? Hopefully not just Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen. How many of you here eat every day? Every hand would probably be up. Pretty much every day, except for me when God calls you to fast for some reason, whatever it might be. Pretty much eat every day. Guess what? We need more than our physical food, according to Job. We need this book. Every day we ought to be feeding out of this Word. Learning of faithfulness. Here's a good resolution for the new year, amen. I want to be more faithful in my Bible reading. If you've never read your Bible through in a year, you ought to set that as a goal. That'd be a good goal. I know that if I'll read my Old Testament, 10 pages in my Old Testament and 5 pages in my New Testament, I'll get through my New Testament 5 times, my Old Testament 3 times in a year. I've done that multiple years, and I don't think I made it this past couple, but maybe I'll get back to that. But reading through our Bibles, getting to know that. We need to be saturated with that Word, amen, and soaking that in. Ephesians 5:17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. By the way, if we're going to be faithful, then we need to know about the one who's what? Faithful and true. Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's our Lord. We learn about him, and this Bible is all about him. A matter of fact, creation's all about him. We saw that documentary, how that God made creation so that some things would happen in the heavens right at the time when Christ would be born on earth. It's an amazing thing. Everything, he's the center of it all. He's the center of it all. Learning of faithfulness. In Luke 12:42, Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? By the way, that ought to be what we aspire to be known as a faithful and wise servant of God. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know what we're going to do in eternity? We're going to rule over his household. That's what we're going to do. You know what God says? You want to be ready for that? Be doing it now. Be taking care of my household, of my business on earth, my household. He'll give them their, he says, to give them their meat in due season. See, a faithful steward, servant, a Christian, is going to serve the body of Christ, the church, with their spiritual gifts. If you got born again, you got something else too. You got gifts from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, talk about that. God gave everyone a gift to serve what? One another with in the church. Giving them their portion of meat, God's household. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. There's not a single believer that has received some gift of God to use to minister to other believers. Not one.
And God says, I want you to go do that. Minister among each other. I'm thankful when I hear about the ministry. Folks out helping one another outside this church. It happens all the time in this church. Helping, getting stuff done and just ministering whatever way you can. By the way, a faithful steward, a faithful servant, will be submitting to other believers as the word of God is shared and demonstrated through them. Ephesians 5:21 says that we are to be submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I can't submit myself to someone I'm not around. That's why believers are supposed to gather and be around each other. So we can learn and grow and encourage one another, amen? There are different gifts. Sometimes we need a rebuke. Sometimes we need an encouragement. Sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need mercy. Someone just to pray for us and not say a word. We need all those things, amen? And God uses that. We are to be what? Speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. So Jesus talking in Luke 12, he says that we are to be ministering to his household, give them their portion of meat in due season. You know what that means? We're supposed to be growing wise. We're supposed to be getting smart about this thing of being a Christian, helping the brethren, witnessing to the lost. In due season. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. You know, there's a time to witness, and there's a time not to. There's a time when you've done the witnessing. Well, I believe the Bible talks about one of those times. I don't know if I wrote the passage down here or not. But it talks about husbands and wives. It says if any a husband obey not the word, he talks about the wife. He says that she is to live a godly life, that he may be show a good conversation, that he may be won without the word, and be drawn to Christ. It doesn't mean that he didn't have the word. He was taught the word first and rejected it. Then guess what? He already knew. And wife's message was over. God says, now go live what you just told him. Just love him. He knows the way. You can tell him again and again and again, but if you see it's going like this, why do you keep telling them? They know. They're very clear on that. Now they need to know the mercy. They need to know the love. Yes, you're grieved. Yes, I'm grieved. I have loved ones that I told. And there's never a time to tell again. There may come that time, but God will have to make that clear. You'll need biblical. Just as you have direction to live and to be silent at times, you need direction again to speak if that should arise in those cases for those have rejected that. Just taste God's wisdom. But we're not going to be able to do any of that. What? Unless we're reading the Word of God, amen. Unless we're studying. George Mueller read through his Bible 200 times. Fanny Crosby said, by the time I was 12 years old, I had memorized all of Genesis, all of Exodus, all of Leviticus, all Numbers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, the Pharisees and such, many of them were unsaved people, and they memorized the books of Moses. Unsaved people, a lot of them. Charles Spurgeon said, a Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to someone who's not. And that's what we need, amen, is to be in our Bibles. That'd be a good resolution. I want to be in the Word every day and soaking it in and learning it. Living in faithfulness, obedience, learning in faithfulness, knowing God's Word, what to obey. And then thirdly and finally, laboring in faithfulness. Look what he says to Joshua. Thou shalt meditate therein. What's it say? Day and night. Did you get that? Day and night. That thou mayest what? Observe to do according to what? Most. Well, if you get 90%. No, according to all. What is God saying? I want you. By the way, God's saying, I own your days and your nights. And I want all my will to be done in your life. And you may have some sleepless nights and have to have some sleepless nights to finish my will and to accomplish my will. By the way, he had some of those for us, didn't he? He certainly did, didn't he? And he may call us to that. They're all his. Being a Christian is not an easy thing. It's going to be hard. Laboring in faithfulness. This that Joshua was called to was not going to be easy. It was going to be difficult. We are called to work together as believers. Now, the first institution in the Bible that God made is the institution of the home. It's the home. And godly homes are the strength of the church. Second institution in the Bible is human government. That was a God-ordained institution. They had the responsibilities as outlined in the Bible. Next institution he made what? Was the church. It's the church. Folks, our homes need to be right. Churches need good homes, and good homes need good churches. Amen. You can't separate them. We need to take care of our homes. See, we have a lot of Christian ministries now that are focused on the home. But unfortunately, they don't go far from that. Strong homes are so that we can be better world missionaries. So we can be better at the workplace and at our friends. And when we go out and at our church and we spread the gospel. That's why we make strong homes. So we can have an answer, what? To the world who's around us. So we can be that light in a perverse nation among whom we shine as light. A crooked generation is to go out. Jesus said about back there in Luke 12, he said, he says, who's the faithful wise steward? He should make rule over what? His household. God does want you to take care of your household. Matter of fact, that's one of the qualifications for a preacher. You better take care of your house. But he doesn't want us to stop there, folks. God says, I want you to take care of my household, believers. Many Christian organizations today and ministries have exalted the family and let the church go to waste. All that's important is that you spend your time with your kids and you do the best that you can at home and teach them, and God has you are a world missionary. You're missionary to in the realm that you go as a believer. And what do we gather together as a church, don't we? As a church. Amen. To do the will of God. This is God's household. This is where he gathers us together. And some people have forgotten that. Some Christian ministries today have forgotten that. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy when he was in prison? He had received a gift from the church at Philippi. He said this: I trust in the Lord Jesus to send, he's writing the church at Philippi, replying to their letter, replying to the good deed they've done to him, sending him some help. And he's writing this letter to them. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your estate. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. You see, your household is your household, and my household is my household, and this church is Jesus Christ's household. Got it? Now, what did Jesus say? I'll tell you who my father and mother and brother and sister are. It's those that do my will. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who naturally care for your estate. What did he say? He said, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. What does that mean? That means we're supposed to have a good home and manage it, and we're supposed to serve in the church too. Amen. We're supposed to be a part of a Bible-believing, missionary-sending church. Amen. And have a viable part in that in prayers. Whatever ministries God directs you in His body, in His household, doing what He wants us to do. And by the way, that means it's not going to be easy. That means we won't have as much time for ourselves. Well, that's okay. Our time doesn't belong to us. Amen. God knows what we need, by the way. He knows when you need a rest and I need a rest. He knows that. But He'll give us the strength to labor in whatever ways. But it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to work hard. Soon here, we're going to need another building. You know what that means? More work. Every building we've ever been in, when we went in there, it wasn't ready for people to come and meet it. And we had to fix it up. And it was a lot of work. And I know for folks, it was a lot of nights where we didn't get much sleep. And God always provided for us. He put things together. We had a place to meet. By the way, a part of our heart was in that because of that work. Amen. That laboring together, that going the extra mile. Think about Joshua himself. Joshua 3:1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Joshua 6:12. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Joshua 7:16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning. Joshua 8:10. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. I see a pattern there. I see a pattern there. You see, we are called here to do work, rather to have God do work through us. And it's not going to be easy. Jesus said to some of his servants, Matthew 25:26, he said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Jesus himself, walking through that desert, going up to Samaria. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied, sat thus on the well. We understand that Jesus oftentimes ministered in weariness. I mean, his flesh was frankly just wore out. And when the disciples decided, it's time to eat, I always look at that passage. All 12 of them had to go and get food, you know. Only Jesus stayed there by the well by himself. And he was ready. He saw the woman there. What did he tell them? Wearied and as hungry as they were, "I have meat to eat that you know not of. I came here to do my Father's will." By the way, that's why the Bible calls him the elect. He's the elect. He is the model servant. the way that he served. He's the elect servant of God. The Old Testament calls him the very example of service. What did Paul write about his ministry? "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all," Paul wrote. "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." You see, if we're going to go forward for God, we're going to need to be living according to God's will, learning what that will is, and then willing to labor and work hard when He calls us to that. And I see that happening in this church now, and that's going to have to continue in the coming year, folks. There may be some more work ahead for us. I have no doubt that there is. Paul said and wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2:9, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail," that sounds pretty rough, "for laboring," what, "night and day." Yeah, we read about that earlier. "Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God," taking care of God's household. That's what his team and all that labored, it was taking care of God's household. God's household. Laboring. Laboring in that. And so, folks, God's blessed us greatly. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the missionaries we're allowed to support. Thankful for the raise and our missions giving. And I'm trusting God to bless everyone and help everyone that's made those commitments. But you know, he works with individually, doesn't he? At the judgment seat of Christ, we won't stand up as Mid Valley Baptist Church. We are commanded to work together as Mid Valley Baptist Church right now. But at the judgment seat of Christ, will each one individually stand before Christ and answer to how we lived for him with our life and cared for our household, and also how we cared for the household of our Lord. That's what he says. I want you to be doing that while you're here as well. And then when you come, you're going to continue that. He continues to minister wherever I tell you to minister, and give us all the strength and all the grace that we need for it. So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And those hard times come. We grow through them, don't we? I think about the Talkingtons. Our missionaries were looking for a place to stay. I remember when we were without a place for. We met a whole summer in the hotel at the Comfort Inn while we were looking for a place. That was hard. That was a real trial for me. I really struggled with that, and I didn't know why or what the answers were. And I'm not saying God gave them to me, but he provided that place. We even had visitors come while we were there in the motel. And he provided us a place. So pray for them. I know that it's a hard trial for them. But the Christian's life's not easy. But let me remind you this. Paul said, yet not I, but Christ in me labored. He will give us the strength if we'll just accept this. Yeah, this is how it has to be. I need to be a liver. I need to be a learner. And I need to be a laborer. And it's not going to be easy. So what am I saying that we as all believers need to do? We need to roll up our sleeves and get on our knees. Amen. Because that's where the strength comes from. That's where the direction comes from. And get in the Word and go forward. And as we do that, we'll have a great 2020. Amen. We'll have 2020 vision to go ahead into the year 2020. And by the way, this might be the year that's coming. We may not see 2020. 2019 might be the year Jesus comes. Amen. And we want to be among those that are following in this manner, trusting him to bring whatever that success that being faithful to him will bring. Let him label that. Our goal is to be faithful to him and look for the opportunities to serve him in a way we can as a church and individually and go forward through those doors that he opens. We do that. And we'll end the year well, and we'll come well into 2020. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for many blessings, and I thank you for this church, for the fellowship that we have, and the ministry that goes on. To the brothers and sisters, Father, when the doors are closed here. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the labors we have together in passing out tracts, being witnesses to our co-workers and family and friends, and visiting, Father, and getting the gospel. I thank you for all of these things. And there may be more that we can do as a church, Father, in the coming year. And not saying that it would be easy, Father. Looks like we're going to need a building. We put that before you. Father, prison ministry, perhaps, nursing home. There are other avenues that may open up, Lord. And Father, help us not to be negligent, to be blind toward those things. There may be other ways we can reach out as a church, Father, with the gospel. You are coming. And I thank you for the privilege to be involved in the care of your household. Ministering to believers that they may grow, ministering one to another that we all may grow, and yet at the same time not forgetting a lost and dying world, sharing out and reaching out with the gospel to those that need to be saved. And Father, I thank you for that. And bless this church and help us as we want to be faithful to the things you've committed us to. You've committed the ministry of reconciliation to us, the gospel. You've committed the word of reconciliation unto us to get it out to a lost and dying world and to edify one another along the way and all those who receive that message that is going forth from us, Father, in every way that we lovingly can. And Father, help us in these things for thy glory. And Father, we do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.